Hey, good morning. This is behavior scientist Tanola Oliver, and this is the Making of the Mogul radio show where the dream is free and the hustle is sold separately. Thank you for joining me for this segment of the Making of the Mogul radio show. So today it is the holiday shopping season, and I just want to touch base on brand recognition, okay? And the reason why I want to talk about it is because shopping is a different experience for all of us, right? I don't think that it is public knowledge that the experience of the minority shopper has the ability to be a little bit different from the average shopper. And so I want to talk about how do you handle complaints, right? So a lot of times when people have a bad experience with a department store, they reach out to that manager. And that's okay, right? It's okay to do that. That's not how I handle things, though. For example, if you are at a Neiman Marcus, first of all, let me say this. Brand recognition is important at every level, whether you're a small business owner, an entrepreneur. As most of you know, the majority of what I teach is usually around business or entrepreneurship, right? As an entrepreneur, brand recognition is important because that is how you build your demographic of people that will support your product, your service, your event, things of that nature, right? Brand recognition is important because these are the people that you can refer to as your constituents, right? The people that are that support your product the most, that feel like they have a need for it the most. Once you figure out who those individuals happen to be, doing business becomes very, very easy, right? Once you build that brand recognition, that is what allows you to be able to enter into the various department stores, right? If you have a product, right? It allows you to be able to expand the who and the what and how to expand, because you, at this point, you're supposed to know who is the demographic of people that support your particular brand. For example, we have products out there that enter into various department stores. That's at a small business level, which is a micro level when we talk about economics. And then we also have those that do that type of business at a macro level. Organizations such as Gucci, Fendi, Michael Kors, things of that nature. For example, I know that Gucci has a very strong diversity program. And the diversity program for Gucci is it's a 360 program. And what does it mean when you say that a product has a 360 diversity program? It means that they have a diversity program for the people that they hire. It means they have a diversity program for the people that they want to utilize their products. And they have a diversity program for vendors, leadership, things of that nature, right? That means that's a 360 diversity program. Right? This is what these products don't know. So there is a list of, so if you are an individual that studies business trends, right? There is a list that allows us to be able to see the financial progress of various department stores, right? This is how retailers have the ability to track the progress and financial stability of their competitors, right? So this is how Neiman Marcus and So Neiman Marcus and Macy's are not on the same level. So this would be how potentially we could say Macy's and Dillard's, right, would track each other's financial stability and success. Although I think Dillard's is still a little bit, it's a little bit above Macy's. And so L. De Beermans or Bon-Ton, they're out of business. So we typically, those would be two that I would use. I would compare Bon-Ton, which was previously L. De Beermans, and Macy's, which was previously Lazarus. Those two are somewhat on the same level. We could probably say Dillard's and Neiman Marcus probably have the same constituents or demographic of people who shop there. So they would have lateral competition. That would be how they would track their competition with each other, is this financial report, right? That people who study the economy or the ebbs and flows of shoppers and what department stores they have supported throughout history versus the trends and what department stores they decide to support. So here is the thing about this list. They also have a list of department stores on there that have been struggling financially and potentially find themselves in situations where they could potentially be shutting down several stores. That list has expanded tremendously since COVID, right? And here's the thing that I noticed about the list when I pulled the list up about 2 days ago. I didn't even know. Well, first of all, Neiman Marcus is on there, right? Neiman Marcus is on there. I knew who Neiman Marcus was. But the majority of the department stores that were on there, I had never even heard of them, right? These are department stores that supposedly have some economic sustainability throughout the years. And for whatever reason or another, supposedly they're in the process of potentially shutting down many of their independent stores because their viewership or their range of shoppers has declined tremendously, right? But what I noticed is that I didn't know the majority of the stores on the list. So what am I saying? I'm saying what I've been saying all of this time. It is essential and very important that these organizations begin to vet and revamp their diversity programs. Because in the long run, it makes the difference as it relates to sustainability as an organization, right? This is why when you have a problem in a department store with a specific brand, right, you don't report it to the department store. Oftentimes, the department store has a culture that you don't see that is already operating in the background that provides the space for their employees to behave in such a way. So if you walk into, and I'm just saying for an example, a Neiman Marcus, and you have problems every time you happen to be in the Gucci section of Neiman Marcus, you do not make that complaint to Neiman Marcus. What you do is you make that complaint to Gucci. And what it does at this point in society where diversity is a major, I'm saying it is a major conversation amongst brands, amongst municipalities. It is a major conversation right now because it is a difference between sustainability, the ability to be able to navigate the ebbs and the flows of cultural shifting. It all is hinged upon diversity right now. And the better diversified an organization, a city, a municipality, a department store, the better positioned an organization is with diversified talent, the more vast their sustainability is. Okay? When you reach out to Gucci and you hold Gucci accountable for the treatment that a specific demographic of people receive within a specific department store, it allows the brand to know something that they didn't know, right? Their relationship, their proprietary relationship is with that department store at a very high level, right? Oftentimes, culture exists beneath the executive level. Now, while some, there is an experience of a top-down, right? A top-down approach. And sometimes the culture is also a top-down effect, right? Oftentimes, people at the executive level don't have any awareness of the culture that exists within organizations. Or they have some discernment, right, of potentially what may be taking place. But until someone makes an official complaint, they don't know, right? And so it is so important to make the complaint at the brand to hold the department store accountable. I recently, and let's say for example, that every time you go in the store in different regions, right? I travel a lot. I have a high level of loyalty. So I always typically visit the same department store in various cities and various states because I anticipate the culture and I anticipate more than anything, the brand, right? It's the brand that I'm there for. I'm not there for the department store. I'm there for the brand that they produce, right? The brand recognition. If I have that same experience and several of their stores across various regions, this is why I'm saying you don't make a complaint at the store level. You make a complaint at the brand level, because brands need to know. Brands know who their primary constituents are. They know who's showing up in these stores and what their spending ability is, and how much they're spending within their projected year. They know who their demographic of people happen to be. And if they are being disrespected and mishandled in these department stores, trust me, they want to know, right? And so you don't complain. Stop complaining in these department stores and complain at the brand level, right? So if you walk in a Neiman Marcus and you're having, and I'm just using that example, right? I don't shop at Neiman Marcus. I'm just using that example. I don't purchase Gucci as of right now, right? That's not something that I purchase on a regular basis, right? That would be a luxury purchase for me. But you understand my point, right? At whatever level of purchasing power that you happen to exist at, right? If you enter into every Neiman Marcus, if you enter into a Neiman Marcus in Detroit, and you realize that every time you go to the Gucci section, that you're being ignored or overlooked. If you go to the Neiman Marcus in Ohio, and you enter into the Gucci section and you're ignored and overlooked or just mishandled, you don't make that complaint to Neiman Marcus. You make that complaint to Gucci, right? And that brings awareness to the brand on whether or not they want to continue to do business with organizations that have culture, that the integrity has been compromised, because they know who their demographic of people and their shoppers happen to be. Okay? That is the most strategic way, right, that you can handle how to deal with complaints. I don't, as someone who does advocacy on a regular basis, I don't deal with people who, I don't deal with lateral moves and lateral complaints. I don't. I go to the people who make the decisions at the executive level. Oftentimes, because at the executive level, they are totally unaware. There are some organizations, don't get me wrong, they have that top-down toxicity. Most organizations, trust me when I tell you, most organizations do not. Because at a certain level of functionality, you don't care who the customer is. You don't care who the demographic is, right? Very seldomly will you ever hear a brand, a designer, say that they didn't make or publish their brand for a certain demographic of people. They know who supports that brand. They know who the primary shopper that makes up their demographic, and they want to continue to build their brand within that particular community, culture, and demographic of people. And so to know that they're being mishandled, trust me, they would exit those department stores expeditiously, right? Stop making complaints at the department store level and start making complaints at the brand level, so that these brands know how the people that support their products and services have been handled in their department stores. And so this is just a little bit of a interaction and about advocacy and how to ensure that that you're spending your money where your money is appreciated, number one, and bringing awareness to the brand and the products that you love and support, right? Because the average person is very loyal to a brand specifically, right? And the brand that you support and spend your money on, that you've worked tirelessly for, they need to know how you're being handled in these department stores, right? Reach out to the brand. And that's where you'll see results. Most of them will respond. I don't think I've ever had a brand that did not respond to me because they want to know, right? And this is the Making of the Mogul Radio Show. My name is a behavioral scientist, Tanola Oliver. And this was a very important amount. Like I've said plenty of times, the purpose of this platform is to disseminate information. There are certain things that people are not supposed to ask of you, right? When you interact with organizations, right? That's a different topic, and that takes a lot of unpacking. And so today I just wanted to start the information, and then we'll build upon it in the next episode. Okay. Alrighty. And so live in the overflow until we see each other again. This is behavioral scientist Tanola Oliver. I can be booked at electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. The ways that you have the ability to continue to hear this type of information is by sending a love offering to $SALTROOM. And in addition to supporting the specialty bakery and purchasing the book Outliers. All right. I'll talk with you soon. Peace.